This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a Wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, Wimpy, Wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, Hefty, Hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty large black bags.
Things that God would anchor your soul to in those particular moments. What happens is your diary becomes a biographical sketch of God's work in your life. And what that does is it builds up your faith.
For help and hope from God's Word, visit In Touch with Dr. Charles Stanley at intouch.org.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 27th day of June 2023. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance, and tonight, boy, we have a whole lot to get to tonight. But before we start, we have a situation where we have two people that need prayer. One is Jim Lynch from Doers of the Word Baptist Church. I noticed he hadn't been around in a while, and finally I got a hold of him. And Jim has really been under the weather with upper respiratory infection, big time. And so he needs prayer. That's Jim Lynch. And the other is a lady named Gazelli. I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. She's 84 years old. She's destitute. And her landlord's trying to evict her. So with us here tonight, we have on the board here going the whole while, none other than our producer, Style.
Good evening, Pastor.
And joining me tonight from the beginning of the program, he didn't get it confused. I had him come in on the beginning of the program instead of the end tonight, Pastor Hal Larson.
Good morning, everybody. I mean, good evening.
I got you confused. All right, Hal, which one do you want to pray for? Do you want to pray for Jim Lynch from church? Jim needs a healing, or to Gazelli from New York, she's 84, broke, and being evicted.
Well, I'll start with Jim. Dear God, I pray for this Jim Lynch that you heal him of that upper respiratory infection. God, there's nothing you can't do, oh God, just by your will. You can just command it to be done, and it'll be done. So, God, I pray that right now, wherever Jim Lynch is, that he can feel your healing touch come into his body, that you command the spirit of sickness to be gone from him, and take the infection away and make them perfectly whole. You're all-powerful, God, so we can ask you to do what's impossible for man as if it's a common thing, and it is, but you, nothing's impossible. So we thank you in advance for healing Jim Lynch right now. And, God, we also pray for the lady that she needs prayer, the elderly lady.
Gazelli. Just pray. Gazelli.
Gazelli, yeah. God, I just pray for Gazelli that you just help her renew her youth, heal her body. And God, I just pray for both these people that you fill them with the joy of the Lord and give them strong confidence in you and use them to bear much more fruit for you between now and the rapture of the church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hopefully a little later on, sometime in the program, Dr. William Grady will be joining us. And he has written an excellent book called Perilous Times, Deep Truths for Shallow Waters, which is a very good book. Anyhow, we're going to get right into the message tonight where we left off yesterday. And tonight we are in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 5, and then verses 12 through 15. Now, here, the title of the message was The Wicked and the Weak. The Wicked and the Weak. And here, Hal, would you read verses 1 through 5?
2 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 through 5?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am zealous over you with godly jealousy, for I am espoused to you to one husband, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with them. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles.
All right, there you go. So here, when he starts out, he's referring to, would to be God to bear with me a little in my folly, indeed bear with me. Paul definitely doesn't have a problem with pride at this point, does he?
No, he's a humble man, but he's been through a lot of stuff that God has done for him, and I think that's why God gave him that trouble in the flesh to keep him humble.
He was humble. Now, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, and I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. So what is he referring to as a chaste virgin? Of course, we know that the church is referred to as the bride of Christ. Is that not true?
That's true, yes.
Okay. And so here he says, but I fear lest any by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, what he's referring to, I mean, the Bible doesn't stutter, and the Bible doesn't use deception, does it?
No.
Okay, so, in fact, if we go over to, I believe, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we read, but if our gospel be hid, now let me go back to it, to verse 2. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So here now, going back to verse 4. For if he, back in 2 Corinthians 11, for if he that cometh preaches another Jesus. Let's have some examples of another Jesus, okay? You know, one of the things I have a little tolerance for, you know, people often have good intentions, but, you know, don't you think God should be reverenced? And here, have you ever heard, sometimes, especially the country music singers and that, talking about the, I'm going down with my 18-wheeler and my good buddy Jesus is at my side, and you know, I've heard this. Now, you've, heading up the trucking ministry, probably heard a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and then, you know, different religions have a different Jesus. It's He even has a counterfeit Bible as they present a phony Jesus. So,
well, you've got the prosperity Jesus, right?
Right.
You've got with Kevin Copeland, where he holds up the Bible and he says, you can take the Word of God and you can extort, you can force God to deliver material goods to you. He doesn't use the word extort, but that's what he's saying. He's saying you can make God deliver material. So that Jesus there that he's got is kind of, what would you say? I don't know. And so what about those here that have a tolerant, non-judgmental Jesus, where, and I've heard people say, my God is non-judgmental. He accepts people just the way they are, and he doesn't try to change them. Is that the Lord Jesus that would accept people the way they are in their sin and not try to change them?
No, that's a Jesus that they made in their own image. That's what people want to do. They, instead of being made in the image of God and submitting to him, they want to have a God that's made in their image that submits to, you know, them. They want to have a God that they tell the way it's going to be. And that's, you know, they want a God that doesn't judge sin so that they can go out and sin all they want and think they're going to get away with it.
You know, I always remember a couple of years back, probably been about 10 years now or more, where that fellow called DeJesus, called himself DeJesus, where he came from South America. He was making rounds to all of the apostate churches. He actually had 666 on his forehead, and he was telling people that he suffered and died. He died a horrible death upon the cross, and he suffered. And he did it not that we would be restricted by laws and morals and values, but that we could live any way we chose to do and do whatever we want. That's why he suffered and died, so we could live any way and do whatever we want. And he had two whores with him, very, very scantily clad, and they would go around, and they had their tattoos, and they would go around to these apostate churches, United Church of the Antichrist and the Pilgrim, these liberal apostate churches, and they were preaching, they were tickling the ears, and that's exactly like you said, what the people wanted to hear. They wanted to hear, look, we can live and do whatever we want, but here, they're kind of being deceived, aren't they?
Yeah, that's for sure. And then there's another, the biggest example I can think of a phony Jesus that exists today. Let me start out by saying in the true church, communion is when you take the body, the wafer, and the grape juice, and you take it in remembrance of Christ, what he did for us on the cross. But there's a large denomination, and I wouldn't call it necessarily a Christian denomination out here, that they believe when their priest that does a hocus-pocus number over the wafer and their liquor, that it literally becomes the literal body and blood of Christ. So they believe that when they're eating that wafer, they're eating Jesus, literally, which is cannibalism. And so that's another Jesus. And every week they do that. That's definitely another Jesus when you think you can eat them physically.
All righty. What about, so you're talking there, Jesus of the sacraments, I think you would be right. Mentioning. What about the New Age Jesus? Charles Stanley's son. Now, Charles Stanley preached the gospel, but his son, and I'm trying to remember what his son's name was. Andy. Have you ever listened to him preach?
No,
I was listening to him. This guy's as New Age as you can get. I mean, he is way New Age. I don't know how in the world him and Charles could ever get along with what this guy was preaching. He's a farce. So they preach another Jesus, a New Age Jesus. So what about here, he says, or if you received another spirit which we have not received. Okay, so when he's referring to another spirit, is the spirit of the Antichrist out there very prevalent today?
Yes, yeah, in these last days, the Laodicean church age, the spirit of the Antichrist is everywhere you look. You look at the Democrat Party, that's about all you see is the spirit of Antichrist manifesting itself.
Well, this coming Sunday at Doers of the Word, we're going to be showing a film around the 3 o'clock hour called Nefarious. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, it really hits on exactly the way things are happening today. It brings it, because today, a lot of people out there, when you talk about demonic possession and demonic spirits, a lot of people just, they laugh. They don't believe it, do they?
No, they just want to party and stick their head in the sand and think everything's going to be okay.
Okay. So is it because of biblical literacy that they don't understand?
Because of their old Adam nature that wants to make them willfully ignorant of what the Bible says. They figure if they don't know what the Bible says, they won't have to answer for not believing that they're doing it.
So, again, folks, at 3 o'clock this coming Sunday, Doers of the Word Baptist Church, we'll be showing that film, Nefarious. And the address of the church is 14781, that's 14781 Sperry, Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. And, boy, it really brings it. It's, what a current event. This film was a film that Salem Communications have really been promoting a lot. Okay, so what about, he goes on to say, or another gospel. Oh, my gosh, another gospel. Boy, do we have a lot of other gospels out there today, don't we?
We sure do. And, you know, Galatians 1:8-9 says, if anybody come to you presenting a gospel other than what you've received, let him be accursed. In other words, let him go to hell. He's sentencing himself to hell when he presents another gospel. That's how serious the violation that is in God's eyes.
Well, you had a situation there where they have, when you're talking about that, the word another is used twice, but it's two different words there for another. The first one, when you're talking about another, in verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of another. That word another, heteros, means a number of a different kind. Another of a different kind. But the next verse, in verse 7, Hal, which is not another. Now, that word another there is a different word in the Greek. It's allos, allos. That means another of the same kind. He says, there be some which would trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, then that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we said before, to so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than you have received, let him be accursed. So now the first one, a gospel of another kind, this is what we're being, we're hearing all of the time. Well, like what Al Sharpton preaches, right? Al Sharpton preaches that the Bible teaches that God condones abortion. That's a flat-out lie, okay? And these people here, unbelievable. These false Antichrist gospels that these false teachers are teaching out there today. Rick Warren, boy, I'm going to tell you, he has a lot of false gospels. Now, but if we go to a gospel that is, which is another of the same kind, that would be like preaching, if you would, as the Apostle Paul preached, and we were talking about, say, on the sign gifts, talking about the sign gifts, and then we talk about speaking and preaching in tongues or whatever. Those would be gospels of the same kind, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Okay, so here now. So now go over and read verses, 2 Corinthians 11, verses 12 through 15.
Okay, got to turn back over there. 2 Corinthians chapter
11, yeah.
Okay, and verses 12 through 15. Mm-hmm. Evidence up here. Okay. But what I do, that will I do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
Okay, so, yeah, okay, so here, okay, well, let's bring, we have Dr. Bill Grady with us here. Hey, Bill.
Hello, Pastor Sanders.
Hey, well, you made it in. Say hi to Pastor Hal.
Hello, Brother Hal.
Hello, sir. How you doing?
You know, what I believe is I just dialed your number to get on the program, and instead of dialing 888, I dialed 877 by mistake with the rest of the number, 677-9673. Got some crazy adult line, some girl trying to hook me up with somebody. How could you make up a story like that? They got the same 7 digits, only it's 877. How about that?
Well, all righty. Well, we're glad you're here and not with her.
That must have been a Democratic phone line.
50 years next year.
All righty. Well, we're the title of the message was The Wicked and the Weak, and we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're just picking it up in verses 12 through 15. And here, verse 12, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, that they may be found even as we. Now, he's talking about these apostate who are professing to be, look, we're just like Peter and Paul. We're apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're one of the apostles. And Paul is saying, no, we're not going to give you the opportunity to make such a claim. Now, we've had the situation over the years where, and I talk about how here some years ago there in Cleveland, Mayor White, when it was the mayor there, invited a bunch of pastors down. I got an invitation to come to Cleveland. They wanted to know, to discuss whether or not they should start opening the city council meetings in prayer, this and that. So a number of actual pastors showed up, and then there was a number of the apostate preachers showed up. And, of course, the actual pastor said, yes, let's open in prayer. We need to be preceding and ceasing. But the apostate preacher said, no, by opening in prayer, we offend atheists and we offend Muslims and so on and so forth. And so after the meeting, as I was leaving, I had a tall, thin Lutheran pastor with his upside down, inside out collar on. And he approached me and he said, well, Brother Sanders, we disagree on things. I listen to you on the radio, but we're still brothers in the Lord. And I told him, no, we're not. No, we're not. Right. Because we have different fathers. This guy believed in abortion. He believed in homosexuality. If it was a sin, he embraced it. Okay. And it was like, I ran into the same thing when I was at an abortion mill. I led up an Operation Rescue some years ago early here for the first in Ohio. And they had a United Methodist apostate preacher. His job was to convince these women coming in there that God condoned, that God understood that they were doing nothing wrong by killing their babies. And
wow.
I tore into this guy. Boy, I mean, I really tore into him. I got right up in his face, and I says, you know exactly what you're doing. You don't have any cloak for your sin. Right now, I said, you are on a fast path to a burning lake of fire. You know it. You better look at me. And I says, you're here. You're taking money. You're taking money from these people. And you're not only will you not enter into the kingdom, but you will keep others. And I said, it's a special hot place in there. This guy literally yelled. He screamed. He says, I don't know what to do. He says, one side tells me to do this. The other side tells me to do that. I don't know what to do. And he says, I quit. I quit. And he ran out. He ran out. And so here he goes on to say in this, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, this is no great thing, if his ministers be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I want to dedicate this song to Joe Biden. To Joe Biden. Be right back.
Biden, did you know that your policies would drive us underwater? Biden, did you know that your policies would trans our sons and daughters? Did you know that your policies will punish what is true? The church that you subscribe to does not subscribe to you. Biden, did you know? Did you know that your baby boy made shady deals in Ukraine? Biden, did you know that your baby boy loves Parmesan and cocaine? Did you know that you shouldn't touch these women like you do? Sniff that little girl's hair, it's borderline me too. The war will cease, the debt increase, and the dead will vote again.
Vote again.
The crying will leave,
the dumb will speak, while we say come.
Biden, did you know that your policies would one day ruin the nation? Did you know that your policies make Herod's reign seem bland? One day you'll have to answer to the great I am.
There you go. You hear that, Joe Biden? Joe Biden, repent or perish. You're going to have to answer. Mrs. Johnson out there in Texas, that includes you too. You better repent or perish. There you go. So we're back. And just joining us is Dr. William Grady. And he has written that book called Perilous Times, Deep Truths for Shallow Waters. And boy, you know, we are in perilous times, are we not?
We sure are, Pastor. Sure are.
And Bill, you've been doing a lot of traveling, a lot of preaching, and you're going to be up in this neck of the woods. Why don't you tell us in a few places you're going to be while you're here so folks can know to come out and mark their calendars?
Well, Pastor, I think you mentioned earlier that it being a nationwide broadcast, I should tell you where I'm going to be in the next couple of weeks because it's kind of all over the place. I'm actually in the Port Lydon, New York at the moment, Bible Baptist Community Church. I've been here since Sunday through tomorrow. And that's my ninth church in New York that I've been in the last 2 weeks. And then, so when I finish up there, I'm going to, I'm driving out to Branson, Missouri, be at the Branson Baptist Church in Branson on Sunday. And then I'll be in St. Louis area on Wednesday for the Victory Baptist Church in Collinsville, which is a suburb of St. Louis. Then after that, I'll be over Thursday, the next night, I'll be in Wapakoneta, Ohio, Gethsemane Baptist Church. Then I'll be Sunday through Wednesday in Everett, Pennsylvania, West Providence Baptist Church. And that, then I trickle on down to your fine folks for the Sunday on the 16th. And that will be the end of a six-week trip to your church. I get to go home to Tennessee Monday the 17th, and I'll be in a camp meeting in Kentucky, Old Paths Baptist Church. But anyway, I've been in 300 churches in the last 3 years, so every single week I'm someplace. And appreciate the privilege to be at your church for a second visit. Had a wonderful time last year.
All right, yeah, we're looking forward to having you. You'll be preaching both services. You're that fellow that Rick Nelson sang about, the traveling man.
I feel like Willie Nelson and Johnny Cash sometimes.
All right, there you go. All right, well, we have a lot of stuff to cover tonight, so we're going to get into it, and you guys could just do commentary. You ready for commentary? All right, I'm going to start out with this one. George Soros is funding the destruction of Catholic Ireland, and here's how. How could Ireland, one of the most solid Catholic nations in the world, so completely lose its way? The island of saints and scholars is becoming a place where the mention of Christian morality is a crime. And here you go. He's talking about, this is from LifeSite News. Ireland is moving ahead with some of the most draconian speech laws in the world. This is what they're trying to do here. This is what Biden was up and tried to absolutely take away our First Amendment rights and silence us altogether. But he's doing it now, and Soros is using his billions to do this in Africa. A report now shows the new legislation provides for criminalization of Christianity. The measures will designate the transmission of church teachings as a criminal offense. Now here, the criminal justice incitement to hatred of hate offenses bill 2022 is passing through the Irish chambers of government. The Irish Green Party is seen justifying the criminalization of speech as a safety measure. In an extraordinary interview with Gripped Media's Ben Scallon, Irish Justice Minister Helen McEntee has claimed the law enjoys widespread support, describing the only people who oppose the law as fringe commentators. So what do you think about all that?
Who are you speaking to?
Either one of you. You both.
I'll just jump in and then let your helper there pick up the rear end there. Well, what are you going to do? I mean, my grade school diploma in 1966 was signed by Cardinal Francis Spellman in New York, the most powerful Catholic in the history of this country. And so the Catholic Church has been the greatest enemy of liberty, democracy, freedom, whatever you want to say. We all know that. And then that country's been falling apart for the last 20 years. The last I've lost track of who's the prime minister, but I know just within the last 5, 6, 7 years, they had a sodomite as the prime minister. Matter of fact, when he came to the United States, he stayed with Vice President Pence. You remember that? He stayed in Pence's quarters for lodging, and he had his male husband or male wife, whatever you want to call it. And Pence, who was professing to be a Christian, looked fairly decent in the better days, in the early days, I should say. You know, he's got egg on his face as professing Christian, having to house this homosexual prime minister of Ireland with his wife or boyfriend or whatever it was. So that country's been going to pot for a long time, and with a Catholic foundation. What kind of crusaders for liberty are you going to have with Catholicism? They're the greatest enemy this country's ever had. But George Soros, you know, what do you expect from him?
Well, let me ask you this, then, because right now I know a whole lot of Catholics, and they are absolutely, totally disgusted. They're referring to the Pope as the Antichrist themselves. Now, so here, I mean, these are Catholic people that have values and some morals, and but I'm talking, and you know, I have friends that are Catholic, and we've been friends for a long time. Obviously, we certainly don't agree on doctrine, but they have morals and values. They're pro-life. They believe in homeschooling their children. You know, they hold to the basic moral doctrines and beliefs that we do. But this Pope, he has recently come out, and he punished cardinals who came out and spoke out against what took place at the Los Angeles Dodgers game, where you had trans things, those sodomites, when they blasphemed God. You had one of their bishop, I believe it was their Catholic bishop, went down and spoke out and rebuked them, and the Pope had him chastised for rebuking the sodomites. And also he welcomed that apostate artist that had the picture. Yeah, he welcomed him. This is this Pope definitely is this Pope. This Pope said that by humanly speaking, Christ failed at Calvary. Christ failed at Calvary is what he said. And of course, so this Pope obviously is really an Antichrist. People that are biblically literate would know that if they know the Bible. But here you go.
Well, Pastor, can I say something? You know, George Soros will find it easy to destroy Catholic Ireland, because when you're talking about places or people with another gospel, Ireland has one. You know, the it's Catholic, but it's not Christian. And they don't use the Bible as their final authority. They use the Catholic Church or whatever, you know, the liberal Pope involved is telling them what to do. But, you know, when a nation uses the Bible as their final authority, then they're the enemies of this present government, because this present government is a satanic government, and communism is political Satanism, and their real enemy is the Word of God and those that stand for the Word of God. That's why they want to outlaw Christianity, because, you know, it's just really an attack on God himself. And so, you know, that's why, you know, real Christians are going to take a stand in the last days, or they're going to show that they're a bunch of cowards and really show their true colors. And when they stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that's going to be go pretty bad for them, you know, the ones that, you know, because you got a lot that are born again, but that's about it. You know, they're spineless as far as taking a stand for the Lord. And but like Peter said, you know, it's better to obey God than man. And the Catholics you were talking about that, you know, are called the Pope the Antichrist. If they really believe the Pope is the Antichrist, what are they staying in the Catholic Church for, when the Bible tells them, get out from among them and be separate so you don't become a partaker of her plagues?
Thank you. I was just talking to a young man today who's a lawyer, been a lawyer, who's a good lawyer too, by the way, and he's Catholic. And, you know, and by the way, in the early days in the pro-life movement, when I was being attacked and sued on every side, I was being charged with criminal crimes for going out and saving babies at the abortion mills, the Lawyers for Life, which were, at that time, every single one of them were Catholic, they came to my aid and they defended me without charge in the battle for life. And remember, I was being charged for, you'd about name it. They charged me from assault, criminal trespass. In fact, they tried to RICO me 3 times, okay? And the lawyers that showed up were Lawyers for Life, and every one of them was Catholic. So, you know, I got to say that like this man said today to me, he said, look, he said, just remember, I'm Catholic, we don't read the Bible. That's what he said. And but the point was, they have good works, but we know you're saved by faith and not by works, but works are proof of salvation. So I don't think, you know, there's a lot of people, and here's my opinion on this, okay? There's a lot of people out there that really, that have a heart towards the Lord, but God looks upon their heart, and I believe what you say, because see, you and I understand, we really spend a lot of time, doers of the word, taking the teaching of the Bible to a higher level. In other words, we really go into the gospel, the teaching of the word. We're not into the traditions and all of that so much as we are into the gospel, the doctrine, okay, where they're not. But like I'm saying, I have, I know some people, some Catholic people, and I have no doubt that they're saved because they've said the sinner's prayer. They've asked the good Lord to be the Lord of their life. I've seen them do it, saying the sinner's prayer. But and I don't know myself. I can't figure out why they don't understand if they read and study. Well, if they were to do that, then they would know that that God's word comes before any church and church teachings or denomination teaching. The word of God holds superior authority over any church teachings. So what do you guys think?
Well, if I could say something, you know, the Bible says that the devil appears as an angel of light, and so does his ministers. And every cult out there can boast of good works. You know, a lot of them are against abortion. They help the poor. They got St. Jude's Hospital they support. The Masons support that. And, you know, they show all these good works they do. But that's what we read. They appear as an angel of light to draw people into it. But the bottom line is they have a false gospel. They have a false Jesus, and they have a false Holy Spirit. And so, you know, that we're supposed to, you know, I wouldn't belong in a Jehovah's Witness church being a born-again Christian. And there might be saved Jehovah's Witnesses, but the Bible says come out from among them. You're not going to help them by staying in there any more than you're going to help somebody that's in quicksand by jumping in and trying to pull them out. You got to stay on solid ground and pull them out. You can't jump in there with them. And so that's my message to any Catholic that's saved. And if they're saved, it's no credit to the Catholic Church. It's because somebody like you or me got to them with the gospel and they got saved. But then to reach other Catholics for Christ, they need to stand on solid ground and pull the Catholics out of the Catholic Church, not get in the Catholic Church with them.
All right, very good. But that would not apply. Look, the days we're living in right now today, fellas, come on. There's just a very small remnant. And just as the World and National Council of Churches are, you know, they're every bit as bad as the Catholic Church. They embrace everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls a sin, they embrace, okay? You know, we're sitting, I'm talking about the United Church of Christ, the Episcopal Church, most all of the United, Lutheran churches, all of them out there have gone far away from the teachings of the Word of God, and all of them today are embracing everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls sin. And so, anyhow, so we have to realize, when you talk about perilous times, these are the days we're living in right now, the perilous time. But do you know who I have seen, I've noticed, who are the most ardent anti-Catholic people? The most ardent anti-Catholic people are the ones that have come out of the Catholic Church. They're the ones that will turn, even with anger, and be militant. And I've had some of those that have come. I mean, just have hatred, which is not a good thing. But anyhow, Let's switch over here. Breaking, another Hunter Biden WhatsApp message to Chinese CEFC associate. The Bidens are the best I know at doing what the chairman wants. That's right. This is another one of the Biden, Hunter Biden. In other words, Hunter Biden, he gets to say about what he wants to say. Did you notice that Jack Smith and the deep state, they went to that judge Cannon, and they asked her. Her name is Judge Aline Cannon. There was 84 different people that they went and they said that Donald Trump cannot speak to. Here's 84. This is the list, and that we want to get a court order that says Donald Trump cannot speak to these people. Well, but Hunter Biden can speak to anybody he wants. See, Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, but not Donald Trump. But anyhow, this Judge Aileen Cannon, a Trump appointee, by the way, she smacked it down. She told Jack Smith, no, there's no way you're going to get that. So she issued her first smackdown special counsel, Jack Smith. We may actually get some justice now that they pulled this out of Washington, D.C., and they took it to Florida. So Judge Cannon yesterday denied Jack Smith's motion to keep a list of 84 potential witnesses under seal in classified document case. The judge said Jack Smith failed to explain why it was necessary to keep the names of the witnesses secret. Do you guys think you know why they wanted to keep the names of the witnesses secret?
Well, if it's connected with Biden, it's all bad. I mean, who can't figure that out?
Well, if they had the names of the witnesses, they wouldn't want these witnesses to be on this radio program, would they?
No.
And they wouldn't want them to be on a lot of them. These are people that witnessed all of what was taking place, that really knew what happened. Now, and there's six IRS agents that have come out, and they're blowing a whistle, and this is put Merrick Garland, they're going to start impeachment proceedings on July 6th. They're having a hearing to start impeachment proceedings. Here it is. McCarthy floats impeachment of Merrick Garland by July 6th over IRS whistleblower testimony. So here, that's the special counsel, David Weiss, had a special counsel put in charge of investigating Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. And here, he had told this David Weiss, this special counsel, had told these six IRS agents, look, I don't have any authority on this. I don't make the final call. They won't let me prosecute Hunter Biden. Well, Merrick Garland came out under oath, testifying for Congress, saying that this guy, David Weiss, had full authority. He had more authority than a special counsel, full authority. So he outright lied. And all six of these IRS agents would tell you, are willing to testify, yes, that Merrick Garland lied under oath. So what do you think about that?
Well, Merrick Garland is Merrick Garland. You couldn't trust him as far as you could throw him. It's funny. I was just last week preaching in Auburn, New York, and they got the Hunter dinette there that Hunter's named after. I guess you know the background of that crazy stuff. Joe Biden's first wife. That was the maiden name. And this restaurant is closed, permanently closed. And, Pastor, it was Joe Biden was in my father's house at least 20 times in Townsend, Delaware, when he was senator. My stepmother was a Republican, but she was running the state finance committee. She was one of the main leaders. Biden was in my dad and stepmother's house every couple of weeks with his hand out trying to get something. And, I think when I was on a program last time, I couldn't help sharing the funny story about his marriage to Jill Biden, how that a year ago I mentioned this on your program, I believe. Jill Biden was one of my customers when I was just a 19-year-old kid living in Wilmington, Delaware. I sold cash registers. And Jill Biden and her first husband, Bill Stevenson, opened up the Stone Balloon nightclub in Newark, Delaware, which became about the top college bar in the whole country. Stone Balloon Ale House, and Rolling Stone magazine voted it the best-kept secret in rock and roll. And it was, you know, the Allman Brothers were there, and Ray Charles, and Bruce Springsteen practically lived there, and the Rolling Stones almost signed a contract to play there. This is crazy. And I sold them their cash registers when they opened up in June of 1972. I was 19 years old. I couldn't even drink there when they opened up. Drinking age was 21. But the crazy thing is, if you'll look at Bill Stevenson, Jill Biden's first husband, the owner of this nightclub, they were co-owners, so they were both my customers. But he's been threatening to put a tell-all book out for several years now about how he found out that his wife Jill was fooling around with Biden behind his back before they were ever divorced. And the moral of the story is, if you steal a man's wife, you'll steal an election. And once a crook, always a crook. And so he's been threatening to put that book out. I don't know if there's any black helicopters flying over his head or not, his house. But you just Google that. It's a big scandal in Delaware. But the man's as big a crook as we've ever had in the White House and in the history of this country.
Well, you're not kidding about that, but his that Jill Biden, she's kind of an elderly hot wife. We've seen her in pictures. They're showing where she is kissing, and I mean, kissing on the lips. Pardon? All kinds of. Obama. All kinds of people. She was doing that to the, Canadian president there, the French president.
Trudeau.
Yeah, she's been kissing everybody. And so, do you think Joe knows it?
I don't think Joe knows where he is from day to day. the rough thing, Pastor, is God is not just chastening or judging this country. He's humiliating us. He's rubbing this in our nose, or rubbing our nose in you know what. And you talk about the abortion. I was saved 50 years ago. Next year will be my 50th anniversary. I was saved in 1974 in Clarence Larkin's home church in Philadelphia, Marcus Hook Baptist Church. Pastor, I mean, you're older than I am. You know about this. But, I mean, in 1974, I was hearing preachers saying that if God spares America, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And that was only 1 year into Roe v. Wade. And we're in a mess that all you can do is oppose, the despotism as long as possible, just to do right, to extend the time that we can get the gospel out. But this is an absolute no-winning situation. And it's, it has to be. We can't sin and get away with it.
Well, you're right. That's if Abel's blood cried from the ground, just think of the sound of over 100 million babies that are the blood crying out to Almighty God. And you're right. That's why I spent 50 years fighting that horrible, horrible sin of abortion. It's America's national sin, and they keep trying to shove more of it. The Bible says that those that hate God love death. They hate God and they love death. And boy, do the Democrats hate God, and boy, do they love death. We're coming up to a fast break. We'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. So don't go away. More to come. We'll see you right after this. Thank you.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left.
the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.